Thank you very much, Brother Andy, for your kind of words and for a kind of very kind prayer. It's good to be here, brethren. Is it better, Brother Ann? Is that good? It's good to be here with you. And it is unspeakable joy and very interesting thing that we are gathering here. That we are traveling 1,000 miles, going through sharp rocky mountains, traveling through prairies, taking time and planes to get here. There must be something. There must be something that we are making so much effort to get together. Some of us have a businesses we have to put on the side. Not an easy. Some of us have to sacrifice their few days of vacation time from work. And we are spending it to travel that far to meet with each other. There must be a reason. We need each other, brethren. We need to see each other, to fellowship together, to get strength for coming months, for coming trials. Some of us went through difficult times with health, with earthly belongings. Yet we put that on the side and we come here. Sister Bernice, for example, she had a surgery during the convention, yet she came here. And I was so glad to see you, Sister Bernice. And dear brethren from Saskatchewan, Brother Ben and Sister Sue, my smile went bigger once I saw also brethren from Arizona. I guess I should probably name every single one of you to make it even, but believe me, we are short of time. I don't want to take too much time for that, but we are very happy to see every and each one of you. And we are here to actually be a little bit selfish here and get strength of you, get it from you. Brethren, I'm bringing love and greetings, especially from my family, from Vancouver, from my parents. They are not able to travel that far, but they are sending very warm love to all of you, and also my sister with her family. She phoned us on our way, and she says, remember, please give our love to all of you, as well as from other brethren from our class in Vancouver. So they are with you as well. Brethren, our subject of today's lesson is Crown of Life. And I think that you may guess which verse would be our theme of today's lessons, but maybe I'll surprise you a little. Because the theme verse I choose for today's lesson is not taken from the Revelation. It was a very good breakfast for our new creation and very nice commentary, which we'll mention later. But my theme text I took from James, book of James, first chapter, and 12th verse, which says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who loved him. Brethren, there is a condition here. Not everyone will receive that crown of life. And we'll look into the crown of life and the steps to achieve it. And those who will receive it are those who endure temptations, those who are approved, those who are tested. So, what is the way? How can we get that crown? We all know it's not easy, and we'll look how it can be done. We all know that to build something big or to achieve something, there must be the first step. And it's interesting that the first step is not from us. The first step is the invitation. And there is, though, the condition to that invitation. It has to be right condition of our heart. Let's turn on and look what kind of invitation is it and who sent that invitation for that crown for us. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 11 chapter and 28 to 30th verse. Matthew 11 chapter 28 to 30. And we will know that these words are words spoken from our Lord. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Sometimes we are seeing it a little bit different. Sometimes that yoke and things which are coming upon us are hard. But with the Lord's help, this is what gives us real strength. And this is where we are coming to the conventions, we are coming to the meetings, and we are getting the feel that that yoke is light. We have to take our Lord's yoke and be meek and lowly in heart. That's the condition of our heart. We have to be lowly in heart, humble. And then this invitation starts working. Invitation from God, from our Lord. And then the right condition of the heart makes that beginning. So there was an invitation. Now, what would be the next step? Well, the next step, we all know, to run for that crown is a consecration. And I was thinking how I could express how serious and how important is that step to understand about the consecration. This is not something which we are saying, oh yes, Lord, yeah, I will consecrate myself to have a better life. Well, it's a consecration. It's a sacrificing of our lives. It's a serious step. This is covenant with God Himself. We are so privileged and we are so lucky that we live in the times where actually there is someone who will cover our shortcomings and who will be able to show us to the Lord as those who have white robes, because we are by ourselves are not able to do it. But this covenant is a serious thing. It's a fight for life and death. Brethren, this covenant is very interesting covenant. It cannot be broken from the God side. Once God makes covenant, he will never break his promise. But it can be broken only from our end. If we will fulfill what our Lord wants from us, we are sure that God will fulfill his side. Isn't that beautiful? And isn't that something which should encourage us on our daily trials? Brethren, these are serious testing. But also, this is the way of blessings. Blessings of meetings, of conventions like this, where we are getting strength from each other. We will receive his peace, which is beyond of human understanding. We will have, or we have, his promises, which we can see they are fulfilling. So if the God fulfilled the promises before, if he fulfilled the promises on our eyes, look at the Israel, the nation who had no right to exist, the nation who meant to be destroyed during Second World War as a nation. They should be wiped out. Then they got their country. Yet they were promised, we'll push you to the sea. And what happened? Our Lord promised, and he is fulfilling it. Brethren, this is what we are walking, and we should remember that we are consecrated to him. Not only we are consecrated on Sunday morning, but on our daily lives as well. So how to take care of ourselves? We live in such a different world where we have to take care of the daily lives, which is not easy, and it's not getting easier. And here, I just would like to mention that I'm struggling with this as well, and I'm learning this as well. But once we read in Matthew 6 chapter and 33rd verse, Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is something very weird. If we will stop worrying about our daily things and taking care of our consecration and our spiritual lives, and searching for his kingdom, his righteousness, all other things will follow. The consecration is a matter of life and death. It's a serious covenant with God. But we are so thankful that we have the Lord who is covering us, who is speaking up front up to the Father for us, and we can use his sacrifice to cover our sins and to ensure that we will be able to actually go forward and run for that crown. We mentioned crown. Well, we know that's kind of the end of our destination. But crown, what is it? And why crown? Our emblem, some of us, we have this on our tie, or we have it on our name tags. But, brethren, I would like to emphasize something. This is something which we do not worship. This sign what we have is just an emblem to remind us of what we are going into, and we are very far for worshiping it. It's nothing more than just a picture or picturize where our destination is. And if we would put more attention into it, I think we would be in violation of what's written in Exodus 20th chapter 4 and 5th verse. which says, "You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath it, or in water on under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am jealous God, visiting the inquiry of the fathers of the children on the third and fourth generations for those who hate me." We know this is not something which is our goal, the just piece of metal. This is our goal and reminder for what is at the end of our journey. Crown. If we say crown, we all know it's some attribute, a sign of something. And this is the sign and attribute of kings. And who is the king? This is the highest position in country. There is nothing higher than that. And if you look at it, the crown is given to somebody who was prepared for it. Somebody has to be worth it. Somebody has to know how to rule it. And if you look at the royal families, they are prepared for it. They are taught how to use that crown, how to use this power. And this is actually the coronation. In the past was done just by the Pope or by somebody else. It was sometimes the descendant of the family. And these were the special person who received it. It was kind of rewarding act, and everybody knew that's the most noble person, or supposed to be, in the country. Another crown was sometimes made from the plant, and was also reward for winners in the games. And I would like to use this example to picturize what kind of crown we are running for. As a king, as an attribute of the king, it's a good picture, but I think another picture of racing is very good, because, you know, there are some games where there is not only one winner, there is few of them. And those who are racing to the end, they are receiving this reward. But the race we are racing is not against each other. And this is very interesting race, because we are running against ourselves. And we are running to win with ourselves. We don't have to be worrying that somebody else is running next to us. Actually, we do, in a little different manner, which we'll explore soon. If we would be worrying, if we would be running against somebody who is running next to us, we will fail. If we will not race gracefully, we will fail. If we will compare the race, I think some of you maybe are watching Olympics. There are good and bad, those who are racing. Good ways to approach that crown on the Olympic racing is a hard training. Every day, working hard, getting better and better. And maybe developing new techniques. How to show myself how to race better to win this. Bad things to approach. I think we all witnessed it on the Olympic Games and on other games once we are watching the sports. People are taking drugs to run faster, to squeeze from themselves more, to be first. And then what's happening, we know. They are going for tests, and we all witnessed that the first place medal was taken away from them. Why? Because they didn't run in the good manner. They were using not allowed techniques. to win. And then they lost their crown. Is it something new at this example? I don't think so. If we look at 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter and the 5th verse, we can read about it. And, you know, it's something really amazing that sometimes people in the world, they are discovering something new, and we then read in the Bible, oh, well, that's nothing new. It's already written. And this is already written in 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter and 5th verse. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win with the prize unless he competes according to the rules. New? It's not new. And brethren, this also applies to us, to our race, to our running. If we will not run according to the rules, if we will try to get those so-called drugs, if we will try not to fight gracefully, if we will actually, once we are racing and we will see somebody is failing down the road, if we will not help him, he may will achieve it somehow, but we will not. Because we didn't help. That's the rule. And we did not actually follow that rule. Very interesting race to achieve that crown. We have to know the rules. That's why we have to study. And brethren, on that race, we have to watch how we are racing. Because sometimes somebody may watch us. That's not a good approach. Our eyes should always be focused on the Lord. But we are all humans. And we should remember, first of all, not look how somebody else is running, but how Christ was running, how Jesus was running. But our responsibility is also have our eyes pictured on the crown, on the cross, on the Christ, and run straight. Don't go this way or the other way. Because although we may have enough strength to get there, somebody who is watching us saying, oh, maybe that's a good way, he may not be able to do it. And we will find guilty of that. Always have our eyes on the cross, always on the Lord. In Revelations 3rd chapter and 11th verse, we have another warning. Revelation 3rd chapter and 11th verse. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown. So, we can see, brethren, that it is possible to lose that crown. But we shouldn't look at it at the way that somebody newly consecrated is taking our spot. So we will not help him. That's the way to lose the crown. If we will not take care of others. So this is, although it's a warning, we have to make sure that we are fulfilling our part of the consecration. Then we'll make sure that having all those things done and with the help of the Lord, we will be able to achieve this. But there is, brethren, a possibility of losing that crown. So we have to be careful to take care of our consecration. Brethren, so what to do? Who is chosen to run? And who is chosen to get that crown? What kind of people are they? Are they those who are wealthy? What kind of nationalities are they? I think we all know the calling is upon everyone with the correct heart condition. And we have to think about it and remember about humbleness. Aren't we sometimes think about ourselves too high? Our humbleness is much needed. Lowly in heart, counting others better than ourselves. Brethren, let's read Philippians 2nd chapter and 3rd verse. And thank you, brethren from Red Deer class, to choose those verses. They are beautiful, and they inspired me to get this subject. Philippians 2nd chapter and the 3rd verse. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but humility of mind, let each of you regard one another more important than himself. That's the key. Think about others higher than ourselves. Being humble, not only just in talking, but humble on our daily lives. Humble once we are studying. I found it, and it's right here. No, there is no such a verse in the Bible, and somebody will find it. Oh, we have to be careful, brethren. As yesterday, Brother Peter gave us a lesson. We are just a tool to show his glory. And we have to remember who we are. We have to remember who we were and how much we should appreciate what the Lord had to, what the Lord gave us, and that he actually called us our little human being. But being hard on yourself, sometimes as we are, sometimes we are going through such a difficult times that it could be a danger too. And for those who are going through those difficult times, I would like to read what Apostle Peter told us in the first chapter. First Peter, 2nd chapter and 9 verse. And please, brethren, remember that once you are going through such a severe trial sometimes, thinking that you are nothing. Yes, we need that humble heart condition, but please remember this for those times where you need to get up and run further for your crown. I would like to read it. It's a 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people from God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who has called you of darkness into his marvelous light. What a powerful words. Let's picture the king. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. We remember how David was chosen. Right heart condition. He was humble. He was somewhere with the sheep on the field. Now nobody even think about that he could be a king. The youngest boy on the field with sheep. And God chose him. And once we'll think about that king, one of thousands, he is a king. But here we read, this is not only king, king and priest, royal priesthood. Not for earthly few years. This is something which the God chose to form the church, those jewels from the world. Obviously, we have to have a right condition of our hearts. But we have to remember, brethren, that we have to love ourselves as well. Do you love yourself? I'm asking my question myself. Do I love myself? Well, if our answer would be, no, not really. So how can you love the neighbor? We have it written, love thy neighbor as yourself. And we have to take care of ourselves, brethren. Not in the empty, worldly manner. We have to take care of our new creation. We have to take care of ourselves, love ourselves in the godly manner, not earthly manner. But we cannot destroy ourselves, because then we'll have no power to run the run our consecration, to run for this crown. We have to water ourselves on the conventions like this one, on the Sunday meetings, sometimes phone calls, sometimes shake of the hand. Then we can understand how can we love others. But we have to remember not to put ourselves on the wrong position. And we should always point first to the Lord. So, we have to be tested, brethren. And we are going through several severe trials. If we look at that royal priesthood, do you think there is any other higher position than this? There is none. This is the God's nature, the highest possible position to get. So think from a different perspective. If you would be the one who is choosing your team for such a high position, not only king, but king and priest, having immortality, you would rather test those people before you give them that power, wouldn't you? That's why we have those trials. That's why we have to go through those things. And we have to make sure our God and has to make sure that we will pass that test before we get this beautiful crown of life. Brethren, in Matthew 5th chapter 3 to 11, we all know those verses. Those are the verses who are blessed, poor in spirit, mourn, gentle, hunger, thirst, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness, insulted, and those who are getting bad sayings against them. Not in here. The reward is with the Lord. But as 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18, it's saying about how severe those trials are and how heavy are they. 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18. For momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Light afflictions. Sometimes they don't feel like this, but comparing to the reward, to that crown, they are light. And 2 Peter, 1st chapter, and the 10th verse, we read the words of encouragement. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about it. He's calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. And we should make our election and race sure. Brethren, in Proverbs 16 chapter and 32 verse, it is saying about how big and how difficult that fight is. Proverbs 16 chapter and 32 verse it says that the better is the one who is ruling the spirit than the one who is taking the city. How hard is to take the city, to win it? You're resisting lots of fight and everything else. Yet, the better is to be the one who is in power of his own spirit, of his own heart. And that's the way to win the crown of life. On the closing, brethren, I just would like to give another verses from 1 Timothy 6 chapter and 12 verse. As something which I would like you to take with you as well. 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. We need that faith. And faith actually is one of my favorite attributes of Holy Spirit. It's very broad. It's not from us. It's a gift of God. Yet, it's a fruit. We have to work on it to bring it on. We have to ask for it. And we have to encourage one another to get it. Brethren, the truth is a light, which yesterday Brother Peter showed us with example in the dark room and the flashlight. I like that example very much. Thank you, Brother Peter. But think about the truth. Is there more powerful light than truth to enlighten things? No. That's the most powerful light we have in our hand. But be careful. Use this light in that dark room to show the way. Don't put on the other's eyes. Because we may find someone who is wounded, who is already sorry what he's done, or she. And we, instead of showing him the way, we may cause even more harm. We may can use the truth actually to harm him. We should use the truth wisely, as our Lord did. He showed the way. We know that law is the law. We remember once the Pharisees came to our Lord. They brought in the woman, which was a sinner. What was the law? They asked him. Moses told us to stone her. What should we do? Very clever. In their minds were just, we have to catch this man on something he will say. Whatever he will say right now, he is done. And what he said. Did he break the law? No. Whoever is without the sin, first threw the stone on her. And then they start walk away. That's the correct use of that powerful light. And we should look at our Lord. And I would like to wish all of you with the words from Revelation 2:10, which we all remember, be faithful unto death. And that's the only sure date in our lives. Be faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life, which I wish all of you and each of you will receive and will help others to achieve that crown, which doing that, you are making your crown more achievable, more sure for you, because you are helping others, you are enduring things and each other, which I feel on this confession from each of you. And I wish that our Lord will say unto all of us, good, faithful servant, have a seat in my kingdom. And here is your crown, which I wish to all of you. May the Lord add his blessings.